Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We got Connor Newt in the building, and it's another week to talk some shop, man. And guess what? It's just another week where things got wacky with your Tennessee Titans. So we'll get into that, man. We got Chris Rim, ESPN NFL Nation Chargers reporter, coming along. And I tell you what, this whole situation with the Titans going against the Chargers is, it could get ugly. So we'll discuss that a little bit with Chris Rim when he comes on. But in the meantime, as the world turns, right, these are the days of the Tennessee Titans where there's always something going on. And you got the Roger McCreary trade. And it was crazy, Connor. Like, I'm on the way to the facility, you know, for Mike McCoy's presser on Monday. And you get the notification. And it's like,
yeah,
time to pull over. Let's type something up pretty quick. Huh? Crazy, right?
I can imagine. Yeah, it was kind of a shock to me as well. I was actually in class.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just sitting there, and I get the notification. And I was like, oh, well, that's new.
Yeah.
That's something. So.
Yeah. I knew they were shopping him, and I knew there was a possibility. I just didn't think it was happening that day.
You know
what I mean? The man just got his first sack. They said, look, the Rams said, oh, he got a sack. He could rush the quarterback out of that nickel spot. Yeah, come on over here. That's basically
he does fit that system.
Yeah,
very nice.
He fits him really well. You know, Keller Witherspoon being out, you know, has definitely been a thing where it's caused some of the guys that play outside to get bumped inside. And look, man, McCreary, he was drafted in the second round. Obviously, not necessarily someone who fully lived up to that second round pick value, but I think he was a solid player. He was a consistent player. And if you talk about the problems with the Titans, Roger McCreary's name wasn't one that came.
No, he was one of the more consistent players on that defense. So it is sad to see him go. He was probably one of my favorites on that secondary, but it is sad to see him go, but we hope he succeeds.
No doubt about it. He's out there in L.A. now, and we'll see what the Rams do this week with their next game. But I tell you what, when you look at that, the thing that's just – I understand, hey, getting rid of an expiring contract, a guy that you don't want to bring back. Spoltrak, they projected 4 years, $60 million. Look, man, like I like McCreary, but I personally wouldn't pay that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I get what they're doing. Obviously, the pick, you know, they had 4 6-round picks.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And so they took the worst of the four, and they got – Their former fifth-round pick, the one that they traded away.
Yeah, they jumped like 60 spots.
A whole bunch of spots. So there's value there. My thing is this. You better be able to package these picks to move up, you know, kind of the way that they did in order to get Alec Iomanner. You know what I mean? But when you have a roster like this, you want draft picks. The idea is to add impact players. Like, I'm talking about, like, game changers. So I don't know for sure how much these picks that they have can move the needle as far as being able to jump up higher on draft day. You see a guy falling to someone you like. But to me, like, that's the value that it brings. I don't think that you look at fifth-round picks. I mean, you find gems. Jayon Brown, Jarvis Brownlee Jr., they sent away, et cetera. But at the same time, like I said, you got to find the guys who those late gems can complement. And the only way to do that is by having earlier draft picks. Now, obviously, this trade is you have a need for the nickel position. You know what I mean? And I get the whole idea like, hey, let's see what Marcus Harris has. Let's see what Kevin Winston Jr. can do in a nickel spot. Let's see, et cetera, et cetera. But if I'm Denard Wilson, I'm looking around like, yo, man.
Yeah.
Like, what about seeing what I could do as well? And, like, you are stripping me of players. Let that cornerback room.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if I'm Quentin Johnston, Keenan Allen, I'm like, oh, this is what you're putting against me?
Yeah.
And you know what I'm doing? I'm calling all the homies. I'm calling everybody, hey, man, if there's a game to watch, this is the one.
Yeah. Fantasy managers are going to be very happy with
man,
this.
Man, listen. They're going to be happy. But in the meantime, you have guys, and there's no slight on the, you know, the guys there now, Jalen Armour, Davis, et cetera, Daryl Baker Jr., concussion mm-hmm. protocol. So we don't even know if he's going to play for them. And, wow, it's a lot. But I want to get into Marcus Harris because he's a guy I remember talking to him early, and one of the things that I really liked is the way he never panicked when the ball is deep. So a lot of times you'll see a corner, like they're in phase, and they're right there with the receiver, and the ball comes, and you see them just kind of like crash out, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something that he didn't do. Multiple times when I saw them try to go deep on. Now, he got toasted. I remember the Atlanta practice. It was, I forget who the receiver was, but he toasted them. But then later on in that practice, Marcus didn't panic. He just stayed in phase, tucked and ran. And when it was time to put their hand up, he knocked it down. I was surprised that they have him playing on the outside. To me, he was always a nickel. That's what he did in the College Bowl game. So now here we are. You have a need for a nickel, a guy who I thought would have fit. They didn't work him there. If you remember in training camp, you know, it was Gabe Judy-Lally behind Roger McCreary at nickel, you know, and we know Judy-Lally's nowhere to be found, you know. So what do you do at nickel? You look at the depth chart online. The only guy listed as a nickel right now is Sam Womack. Bro wasn't even on the roster in training camp.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of moving pieces and a lot of things going on. But I got to talk to Marcus Harris a bit on Wednesday about just if he's required to move into that nickel position. Because Denard Wilson, he said, hey, listen, man, like whoever moves into the position is going to be somewhat new to them. And we're going to, you know, put it together and see what we got. That's what he said. And he mentioned Marcus as one of the guys. So here's Marcus Harris on bumping aside and playing that nickel position.
Just how you see things. It's a different play entry. Whereas from corner here all the way on the outside, nickel, you're a little bit in the mix. So just play entries a little different. That would be it.
How much, you know, having the receiver, he has a two-way go. Yeah. You know, you don't have the sideline as your friend. How much does that kind of present a challenge?
I think it's even more important to play to your leverage. At corner, you hear play to your leverage, but sometimes you can give it up and be able to recover so you can so far. But I think it's important in the slot to always play with the leverage and know what, I guess, your weaknesses are within the coverage.
How critical is that communication? You know, like, as an outside guy, you know, somebody's breaking in, you're yelling in to the guy who's at the nickel, but being the reverse side of that.
Just hearing the communication, I think it's important knowing your teammates around you, but that's why, I mean, we meet together at secondary, all get on the same page throughout the week, so, I mean, we all been on the same page since.
And what about the physicality, having to play in the box? It's a little bit different from outside.
Yeah, it's a little different for sure, but I think as a corner, I'm someone who enjoys being physical, likes tackle, getting that mix, so I think it'll just give me the opportunity if I'm playing inside to do that.
So the one thing I do like about all of that is the knowledge, the understanding, right? You got that two-way go. Like, Connor, if I'm running at you, right, and there's nothing but air and opportunity to your left and to your right, it's a little bit harder to guard me than if I'm running at you and the sideline is there. And I know
it'd be hard for me to guard anyone.
Well, you know, we're just going to give you the benefit of the
doubt. Yeah.
But if you have the sideline, it would make that hard a little bit easier because you could funnel the receiver to the sideline.
Right.
And that's the – you know, one of the big differences. And then the communication, you know, that's something that Denard Wilson said is very important. I believe Mike McCoy, he said that too. You know, that communication, talking, and we've heard him say, like, he wants obnoxious chatter, right? Obnoxious communication on the field when the defense is there. So that's an example of why. Because, I mean, look, like, you got to know your leverage, right? You got to know, you know, where your linebacker is going to be and where your corner is because, you know, that's all important in that it lets you know where you are on the field. So I'm glad he has that understanding. It's going to be a tough call because I've seen the Chargers, like, they'll bump Keenan Allen inside. And you talk about having that two-way go, man. You got one of the best route craftsmen ever.
Yeah.
And he has a two-way go. Those are shoes I wouldn't want to be in.
Yeah, and I think expanding on the Chargers offense a little bit, that's probably one of the most upstart young elite wide receiver cores in the entire league. I mean, you mentioned Keenan Allen, of course, coming back, but Quentin Johnston is coming on this year.
Glad to mention my man.
Finally, Ladd McConkey is going on this year. Who's your guy?
What you just said.
Ladd McConkey?
Yes, sir.
That's my guy, too.
He's tough, man. He's tough.
But, yeah, I'm not going to say that nickel is an easy position to learn. No position in the NFL is easy to play. Mm-hmm. But it does make sense to move a guy with a little bit of experience in that position back to that area.
Yeah.
Especially because I can't imagine it's just like riding a bike. He's not going to go out there and pick it up immediately. But it's one of the easier positions to learn in football. So it makes sense that he's out there playing that.
Here's the thing that's tough about it also. And that's why I asked the question, that physicality. Like, yeah, you could want to come up and do that, but Hassan Haskins is not a small running back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of these guys in the league, even if they're not small, they run behind their pads, a la Tony Pollard.
So. Marion Hampton.
Yeah, man, that's a grown man right there. You know what I mean? That's a grown man. So it is going to be interesting seeing how that works. Denard Wilson, God bless you, man. God bless you. You're doing the best with what you got, and yeah, we'll see how the chips fall into play. But I mean, look, he's not the only one that's doing the best with what he has, because Cam Ward is doing that too. And I think you look at this, no Calvin Ridley. You've seen an emergence of Chim DK, and man, we talked about it last week, and I'm smiling because I've been waiting for it. That transcontinental crosser. Been wanting to see that, right?
Yeah.
You know, and they finally did it in two plays, and guess what? Two plays, you're in the end zone, 50-plus yards. So it was good there. Chim is a guy that, you know, he leads the league in return yards, or return and all-purpose yards. And, you know, you look at him, I honestly did not think this was anything near what you were going to see.
Yeah. No, because the knock on him being drafted was his hands. Like, he can't haul in a ball as well. He's kind of just a return specialist. And then,
shown nothing but ball skills.
Yeah, you see what happens when you get him involved.
Yeah. And he's come alive. And the thing that I like is, so they still have their 5 a.m. meeting group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they go over film together, and they watch film. I like the trust that's developing between Cam and Chim DK. Might as well say between Gunnar Helm, too. Gunnar Helm got his touchdown on national tight ends.
Yeah, time.
You know, first touchdown. That's dope. And obviously, Io Manor is still coming along. He has to be more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to Chim, I think this is a guy that with Tyler Lockett asking and getting his release, you see more opportunities. It's no coincidence that he's led the team in receiving yards the last 2 weeks. But it really comes down to Cam Ward and those mechanics. Being able to, you know, he wants to hunt those deep passes, right? And being able to find those. But it's not just the deep passes. You look at those. The third down, right?
Yeah.
The first third down that they had, it just hit me. I think it was like third and 12 or something ridiculous like that, because you had the Tony Pollard run, which failed, and then you had a pass, which failed, and now it's third and long, and that's what this team lives in.
Yeah.
And Chim DK came up. It was an in-breaking route, and he caught it. And that's another area where they're connecting. So you're seeing that timing really start to hit.
Yeah, I think it's – some of it is Cam Ward, I think, is – finally figuring some things out that he didn't figure out in the beginning of the season. Not to say he's played like the number one overall pick through eight games, but I think he's figuring some things out.
Mm-hmm.
It's ball control for him, right? It seems like every game he has some sort of weird play, and that's going to happen with a rookie, of course, like dropping the ball randomly on a snap or just making the wrong read, throwing an interception. It's going to happen. He's going to make mistakes, but it seems like under Mike McCoy, the play calling hasn't been too much different. It's been kind of the same thing. That fourth down, for example, last week is
he said
the
he
thing
regretted
the
that.
Thing everyone keeps coming back
oh,
to.
Oh, man, he said he regretted that.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well, I don't blame him.
You saw Cam Ward's reaction.
Ooh, Mike,
he got a little fired up.
Yeah.
But Cam Ward, to me, I think he's going to be a good quarterback in this league if he continues to show growth. And I think he's shown a little bit throughout the season. Chim DK, I think, is the one, surprisingly to me, unlocking some of that for him.
Yeah, because, you know, we talked about it, like Alec Iomanner. And I still believe Iomanner, and I like Iomanner, right where he's at that X receiver position. You want to see more consistency out of him. But to your point about Cam and the progress, look, two consecutive games you didn't have. Yeah, he had turnovers. He's tied with Tua. I'm not going to try to say his last name. I'm glad
I got you. Tunga Vailoa.
There you go. Good job. He's tied with him for the most turnovers, 11 turnovers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is a lot. He did have an interception. It is a situation that probably could have been avoided. You know, you had the third and eight, and he's still trying to figure out when he can and can't hold on to the football.
Yeah.
And it's a habit that he has. If you go back to the combine, one of the things that he said was he talked about, you know, if I can hold on to the ball and give my guys a little more time to get open, why not do it? And you're right. But guess what? Your guys aren't going to have a lot of time to get open.
Yeah.
With the way these defenses are getting pressures. So that is an issue. But back to the 11 turnovers, or back to the third and eight, you know, he had an opportunity, held on. He looked at it, held on to it, ended up being intercepted on the next play on fourth down. And look, it goes in the stat sheet as a turnover. A field goal wouldn't have done him any good.
Yeah.
You had to go for it. It's fourth and 16 or whatever it was. He tried to rifle it in there. The DB just undercut it, made a good play. Like, he saw Chim coming open on that crossing route, but it wasn't there. But, again, with these turnovers, you look at it, he has 11 through 8 games. That puts you right around 23 turnovers or so, something along those lines.
Mm.
Peyton Manning had 31.
Yeah.
His rookie year. Folks, leave my X account alone. I'm not comparing Cam Ward to Peyton Manning. I'm just saying there have been rookies that struggled before. The good thing is Ward was at the Manning passing camp a few years ago and established a relationship with Manning. You
yeah.
know, obviously, you're at his namesake's passing camp. Of course, you're going to. And he said they still talk, and he's gotten advice from him. And some of the advice is mainly to just, like, be yourself regardless of the wins and losses. So you're seeing that. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
There are some technique and things that they talked about that Cam didn't care to share, which is fine. But the thing that I do like is Mike McCoy is also a guy who worked with Peyton Manning, who's worked with some pretty good quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers, you know, the list goes on and on. He's trying to hone in on these mechanics. And
yeah.
It's just going to get better with reps. That's the main part.
Yeah.
The more opportunities he gets out there, in live action, practice is good. Practice is good. But practice isn't the same as when you're on the field.
Yeah, game experience.
You know, you
is
got
the best
Bud
experience.
Dupree. You got, you know, Mac. You got, you know, the rookie Kyle. You got some guys closing in. It's a different ball game. And so I think that's the big thing that you have to look at is over time, is this guy going to continue to progress? That's the main part of it.
Yeah, and I think there are current examples around the league of first-round quarterbacks that struggled their first year or so and are kind of coming on now. Baker Mayfield is the extreme right now.
Yeah.
Bryce Young, I think, is doing some good things. He's not healthy right now, but he's doing some good things. And look, not every quarterback that comes into this league in their first year is going to be C.J. Stroud or Jaden Daniels. Mm. Those are extreme, extreme cases of rookie quarterbacks making an impact on their first snap. Now look at what they're doing right now. C.J. Stroud is kind of slumped down.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels has been hurt all year, and the Commanders have taken a step back. So it's actually more common for a rookie quarterback to struggle than you would think.
Yeah, and, you know, to use food as an example, like, fast food is good every once in a while. Like, every once in a while, you're going to go to wherever and get a good, you know, you get something to fill you up, and you feel good about it. But it doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
But you go to a place where you could sit down and get a slow home-cooked meal, chances are you're going to be happy. And I think it's just the same in that we've come to be so accustomed to immediate, right now, microwave-style life, we forget that sometimes things take a bit. And we forget that the process is great, and that leads to the prize. You know, so just a couple of things I wanted to touch on. And, oh, by the way, Tajay Spears, before we jump to the break, Tajay Spears, that 41-yard, excellent, excellent play design.
Mm.
I love the pin and pull that they had going.
He's coming on.
He's
I'm
coming
proud
on. He is. He just has to stay healthy.
Yeah.
He just has – this man can stay healthy, you know, because there – and Tony Pollard has a neck injury, And so he's been limited in practice. So, you know, you could see a heavy dose of Spears. But that pin and pull, getting Kevin Zeitler to escort him in that alley, we did it on Whiteboard Wednesday. You could check it out. And, yeah, that's a nightmare for a DB. So it's almost like a it's like a coupe crashing into a truck. You know what I mean? And speaking of crashes, yeah, I got to take an opportunity to shout out my guy, Blair Durham at Bart Durham Injury and Law. And, I mean, look, you know how life could change in an instant. A car wreck can throw everything off. It could throw off your job, your bills, your peace of mind. I know that personally. I do know that personally. And that's where, you know, I was able to turn to Bart Durham and those guys. They've helped me out. Blair Durham, that is, and his team, they've been fighting for folks in Tennessee for years, making sure that insurance companies pay up because they don't want to pay. We just last week, what happened, right? I had to wait here for the guy to come because they wanted to scan my car because they don't want to pay for the damages that their insured driver made. So that's a good example. But, you know, with them, there's no upfront costs. There's no waiting around. It's just a group of real people that make sure that you get what you deserve. And they helped me get my C8 to where it needed to be, to where it was before the accident. So definitely, if you've been injured or had a car accident like I did, don't wait. Make sure you call Bart Durham Injury Law Firm at 615-242-9000. They're here 24/7 and ready to fight for you. On that note, we're going to go to a break and we'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
And the lights dim. We're going to Atlanta. And now, welcome to the Omni. For your Atlanta Hawks, starting at small forward, out of Wichita State, number 53, Cliff Levingston.
And now, the show, look who's coming to dinner. Sydney Poitier.
Too much. You could at least pick the light skinned guy, man. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm light skinned, man. You gotta get your accurate picks. You notice everybody I pick is dark skinned, but hey, look, we're not gonna get hung up in that. I wanna know what your thoughts are on Chim DK. Just how he's come along, because back to back weeks he's led the team in receiving, and obviously he's a guy that receiving yards, that is. Obviously he's a guy that, you know, has come along as of late.
Yeah, he's a dual threat. I mean, number one, you know, he can do kickoffs, and he's been killing in the league. I think he's number one. And then with him as a receiver, he brings a guy with a lot of speed. I mean, look at – I think the one of the passes that he caught was a deep, deep over. I mean, the way he created separation in order to – and where Cam can really throw the ball to where it is. But I just love the speed that he brings and the technique that he brings. But also he brings a little of excitement to this game because, you know, with Calvin Ridley out, he made a couple of splashes. But you got DK that's making big plays each and every week.
What are your thoughts on Io Manor? To me, like, I like what he brings to the table, but it just feels like there needs to be more consistency.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you'll see a good catch here and there, but when it's the tough catch, he's difficult to make. I mean, we kind of talked a little bit about that in camp because when I saw him at first, I'm like, oh, man, he's going to be really, really good. But in this league, we always talk about you got to be consistent. You have to make the play each and every play, even when it's a hard play. So if he can be consistent, just imagine them two together growing in this offense, but growing to make plays together. I think they can be something really special.
Yeah, and it's actually those three, right? Because you look at Gunnar Helm, too. He had his first touchdown, NFL touchdown on National Tight Ends Day. You look at him, those three rookies with rookie Cam Ward, and then you got Chig Okonkwo.
Right.
What are your – I mean, is Chig a guy you think that – because we know the fire sales in effect. Should they keep him, or is he a guy that – a contract that they should just go ahead and let wash at the end of the year as opposed to bringing him back?
I mean, just look at, you know, his track record. His track record has been okay. I mean, sometimes when he first got in the league, he was a little bit inconsistent. Now he's playing pretty good. So do you take a chance? Do the Titans want to take a chance to, you know, give him a long-term contract. In my opinion, I think they should, because I think he brings a good skill set. Watch when he catches the ball. Watch when he runs those over routes. I mean, he's getting open, and when he catches the ball, he has yards after catch. So I just – if I'm the Titans, I would take a risk because he's getting better. And when you have a kid that's getting better with a good skill set, he can help your team later on down the road.
Absolutely. I agree with you 1,000%, because when you look at his skill set, and Mike McCoy kind of touched on it when he said when he was answering about Cam Ward getting the ball out of his hands more quickly. And Cam has said it too. Like, it's like, man, I got to keep them from killing me by getting the ball to those guys and letting them create. Right. And you get the free yards. And I think when you look at Okonkwo, he's maybe their best yards after catch option. Yep. So you keep him because he matches your quarterback, but it has to be at the right price. And it's funny because on Wednesday he was in the locker room. He was like, man, like, I didn't realize that I would be the last man standing. He's like, you know, that Fresh Prince. Remember the episode where he went in there and Will Smith was standing there just looking around and nobody was there? Yeah. That's Chigakonkwo from those three draft classes.
It is, but just watching in the last couple of games, when he gets the ball in his hands, you said it really, you know, masterful. Let him work. Let him work. Just throw the ball, catch the ball, and let him work. You don't have to do nothing special. You know, throw him a little choice route, let him catch it and get 15 yards. That's a win. So if I am in the Titans organization, you still want to keep some key pieces. And in my opinion, I think he's got some key pieces.
Absolutely, at the right price. Let me ask you this, man. Sure. You know, the Roger McCreary trade, we talked about guys from that class. You know, Roger McCreary's out. I don't know who's playing the nickel. I mean, you go on a depth chart on their site is Sam Womack. Marcus Harris is a guy that they'll bring in. They're facing the Los Angeles Chargers, Chris.
My God.
And you got one of the best route runners ever in Keenan Allen. And then you got, you know, you got White Lightning. You know what I mean? Ladd McConkey is no joke. And then we talk about the deep over routes and running seams and the slot fades. When they want to put Quentin Johnston in there, you got that.
Whoa.
How big of a challenge is it for whoever it is playing nickel?
It's huge. You remember that Rocky movie when his wife was like, you know how big he is. You know how strong he is. You can win.
Throw the damn towel, Rock. Throw the towel.
That's kind of what it is. I mean, you got a secondary to where you let Snead go. So, I mean, not Snead go. Snead is hurt. You got Brownlee's gone, and then you got McCreary's gone. So what do you do? I mean, you got some dogs that's about to. They can run. They can run routes. They're big. They're physical. They're strong. So what's going to happen is Herbert's just going to throw the ball up and let those cats go eat. So it's going to come down to what Denard Wilson wants to do. The one thing he can't do is start blitzing and let them guys go one-on-one. You're going to have to play some zone behind it. But then all of a sudden, the defense is struggling with the run. So what do you do? I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be feast or famine, but something's got to give. But you, just like we're saying, you know how big he is. You know how strong he is. You can't win.
So. So are you saying the Titans can't win, or are you just saying that matchup?
I'm just saying the matchup. That's a tough matchup. But we got to remember, too, TD, it's NFL.
Any
crazy
given
stuff
Sunday.
Happens any given Sunday.
All right, well, let's get into that then. I mean, outside of prayer, like, what is it that this team has to do in order to beat the Chargers?
I think for me, this is just looking at it overall, is they have to win the time of possession. I know this sounds corny and cliche. I think they need to slow the game down and put together some productive drives. And another thing they have to do, they have to finish. I mean, they scored 14 points last week, and they have to score. So, with me, for the Tennessee Titans to win, time of possession, have a long drive, 11-play drive, we're taking about 7 minutes off the clock, and keep Herbert and those Stallions on the sideline. So, if they can do that, I think they definitely have a chance.
It's interesting that you mention that, because when you look at this Chargers offense, you look at any Jim Harbaugh offense, and when he has Greg Roman there with him, they're going to look to run the football. So it's kind of like, okay, if you ball control, can you get them out of their commitment to running the football? And I think that's a big question. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, about the Titans running the ball or?
Well, to get play ball control offense, bleed the clock.
Oh, yeah.
And do you think that'd get the Chargers out of their willingness, their insistence upon running the ball?
But see, here's the thing that kind of concerns me is if you look at the Titans on offense, they're consistently behind the chains. So, you know what I'm saying? So for them to try to run the ball, you know, they're not going to be able to do that because they're going to be behind the chains. But if they can get up on the Chargers and take them out of their element, then I think they're going to do some things that they don't want to do. So if they can do it in that aspect, then they can find a way to win.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. What about this defense? I mean, do you see any way, especially with Simmons probably not being there, do you think, you know, if the Chargers do run the football, will they be able to slow that down?
I mean, they're going to have to. I mean, because if you look at last week, I mean, Taylor had 153 yards and on like, what, 12 or 14 carries, and all those runs were explosive. Sometimes when they were running inside zone and outside zone, he didn't get touched until he went to the second level. Mm-hmm. So you don't think that this Chargers offense sees that? You don't think these coaches are studying what the weakness of the defense? So what they're going to have to do to stop the run, they're going to have to put – now, this is where it gets tricky. You got to put an extra guy in the box. So you bring a safety down, but then when you bring a safety down, it's going to be one high, and then you're going to have to make those corners cover those receivers. So what do you do? You're going to have to figure out to get some turnovers, strip the ball, do something like that. But if you get those guys on the island and they run the ball, it could be a long day for the Tennessee Titans, man.
And that's the thing. As soon as you said drop a safety down in the box, I'm like, well, that's secondary? I don't know that I would do that. But I get what you're saying because, I mean, you're talking about trying to stop the run, and it's basically like pick your poison. And your poison. That's just a bad situation to be in.
Yeah, and then when you try to blitz, if you blitz, then on the perimeter, you have to go man-to-man. And I don't think that those guys can cover those guys, even though the quarterback might get the ball out quick, because the one thing that Keelan Allen does so well is what he does at the line of scrimmage. So even though the ball might come out quick, his feet are so good at the line of scrimmage to where he can catch those slants, those quick outs or whatever they do to get the ball out. So it's just kind of feast or famine.
I love that you mentioned the footwork at the line.
Yeah,
he's special.
Man.
He is special. Like, he has good size, decent quickness, average speed, but that darn footwork is amazing, man. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, he's got great footwork. It's kind of like Ocho Cinco. Ocho Cinco had great feet work at the line of scrimmage, man.
Stop on a dime.
Yeah, but then what Keenan does also too, and Ocho does, is what they do at the top of the route. They get, just like you say, I'm going to steal your word. They have the suddenlies. Mm-hmm. I'm out of there. As a bop, 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 it's bop, bop, I'm out of there.
Yeah.
That's what makes those guys so special. They win the line of scrimmage, but what they do at the top.
No doubt about it. I know we're short on time, and speaking of special, you know, I got a granddaughter. She'll be two next month. And so we're watching Reading Rainbow, right? And it was crazy because her mom was watching it too, my oldest daughter. And she was like, wait, Dad, I recognize that guy at the end of the show.
Oh, my God.
I said, who is it? She said, oh, that's the guy. Isn't that the one you do the radio show with, Run TMC? I said, Deja, that is not Chris Sanders. That's LeVar Burton. I'll beat you up today, man.
You beat me up.
I'll beat you up today. Between the seal and LeVar Burton.
Killing me, dude. You got me, man.
It's Buddy Pritt. I'm talking to TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Yeah, you hear that music. That's that Ram Squad. It's before my guy's time, but it's from Philly. Like, we gotta put the Philly music on for my man Chris Rim, ESPN, NFL Nation, Chargers reporter. What you know about that Ram Squad, man?
Only a little bit. Only what my pops told me. Only what my dad told me.
Hey, bro, chill out, man. Chill out. You hear him? He gonna say only what my dad told me. Like, bro, you trying to make me feel old, but it's all right. We gonna let that one slide, man. We're gonna let it slide. Definitely always love getting to talk shop with my guys, man. This is actually, if I'm not mistaken, the first time that we've done this. So let's go ahead and get into it, man. First things first, we were chopping it up a little bit about all the former Titans that are on this roster. You've been in the locker room. Any excitement or anything like that, you know, from Elijah Molden, from Tierre Tart, Bud Dupree, any of those guys?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a lot of excitement. I mean, I want to say there's nine, I think there's nine former Titans on the roster. And you just mentioned probably the big three right there of guys who I think all left Tennessee in ways that they necessarily didn't want to, or you know, whether it be, you know, Tierre's situation, you know, it's three different guys who I think wanted their endings to be different in with the Titans. So they all have something to prove on Sunday against Tennessee for sure.
How have you seen Jim Harbaugh come in and turn this team into where they are now? Because obviously, you know, things weren't good, which led to the previous coach being fired. But this Chargers team, they've been competitive the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think with Jim, it's really about the work, really. First of all, it's about working guys, you know, super extremely hard, right? With not to the point of, you know, they're gonna break down with injury, but just drilling in the principles, and that it is coach speak to an extent, but it is, I think, for one, that simple, but two, it's also prioritizing the line of scrimmage. Like they, you know, there was this big thing when Jim got here of, you know, are they gonna draft Malik Nabers or are they gonna draft Joe Alt? And they already had Rashawn Slater, so everyone seemed to be pinning them to Malik Nabers, and they went Joe Alt. They invested in the offensive line. If you look at what the Chargers' defensive line looks like from when I first got here, which was Brandon Staley's last season in 2023, their D-line looks way different. It's just a massive group of guys on this defensive line. As you know, everyone's, you know, it's just a bigger group, right? So I think the biggest thing Jim and GM Joe Ortiz has done is invested in the line of scrimmage, and that's what's changed this team, I think, in a big way.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at this secondary also. I want to look at them. Actually, even, look, man, Deion Henley, Denzel Perryman. There's a lot of guys on this roster that I like. But the secondary, you know, you talk about Derwin James, who's still among the best safeties in the game, and Elijah Molden. Like, how have you seen that tandem just kind of play off of each other and work together?
Yeah, I mean, Elijah is really partly responsible. One of the biggest reasons why this defense was among the league's best last season, right? Like, when Elijah got here, a few weeks into the season, defensive coordinator Jesse Minter realized that Elijah was good enough to play deep safety, right, for an entire game next to Aloe Gilman, who's been traded. But once they did that, Elijah and Aloe would play deep safety, and it allowed Derwin to play nickel, where he spent most of his time last season. And Derwin in the box, essentially as that nickel, kind of essentially, you know, playing linebacker in a way, it's been way more effective. It was like a career renaissance for him last year. He was second team all pro. And that's continued this season with, you know, Derwin will still go back to the deep next to Elijah. But for the most part, he's up against the line of scrimmage. They're going to blitz Derwin a lot. They want him to sack the quarterback. They want him to blow up running backs, blow up run plays. So Elijah has been key for Derwin's, you know, renaissance and Derwin's place on this defense and this Chargers defense, you know, getting back to being one of the league's best last season and returning to form last week against the Vikings.
Man, you really love to see it, right? A guy that was cast away and he goes somewhere else and his value is highlighted and you see it. And, I mean, Derwin James, you look, man, in the box, like, he's great against the run. He could cover tight ends. Like, he's like the ultimate weapon, so I'm glad you mentioned him. When you take it up front, I mean, oh, I forgot about Naquan Jones, too. Good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
I mean,
man.
Damn. Naquan, yeah. Tier Tart. What's up with that tandem right there up front?
Yeah, the tandem up front. And also Deshaun Hand, who's on injured reserve, was also in Tennessee for a little bit, too. But, Tier is really been a wrecking force on a defensive line, man, particularly like when Tier is on the field, the Chargers are a different defense, particularly against the run, man. He really clogs things up. Tier might not always make the tackle in the backfield, but he's going to be the reason why there's a TFL. And sometimes he's going to get the TFL, just to be clear. But he's often the reason why a play is being blown up or why a run is going for 3 yards when it should have went for 15 yards because he's knocking a guard or a center on their behind, you know, for one. And I think behind him, too, has been effective. You talk about, guys like Naquan in that group. You got Justin Aboigbe, a late-round pick last year who had 2 sacks last week. So the interior D-line, which one of this team's biggest questions last season, has become somewhat of a strength through these first 8 weeks.
Yeah, that's great to see, man. Guys, again, look, I said it, that's the second time. I mean, you got guys that are going out there and their value is being showcased. And we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Chargers reporter Chris Rim. Chris, flipping it to the other side of the ball, I want to ask you about Ronnie Gadsden. And I remember watching him at Shrine, and I'm like, yo, like, this dude is all right. How has you seen him just kind of like shift into that tight end position, because this is a guy that has, you know, a lot of receiver background as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Aronde, he's a guy, like you said, who looks like he played receiver before he switched to tight end. You know, he's smooth with his routes. He knows, you know, receivers who are friendly to the quarterback. He's a tight end. He's a pass catching tight end who's friendly to the quarterback, right? Like he gets in positions. He adjusts his routes to the defense. He puts himself in places that are friendly to Justin Herbert and to the offense to make it easy for him to get the ball. And that's why he's been so effective over particularly these last three games. You know, he was inactive for the first two games of the season, particularly because, you know, he's, for one, he's a fifth round rookie, but two, you know, Aronde has a ways to go as a blocking tight end, right? And obviously they want their tight ends to be able to get in the blocking game, but his play as a pass catcher, you can't keep him not active on game days, right? I think he, over the last two games, he has the most yards by a rookie tight end since Mike Ditka in 1961. I mean, he's a guy that the Chargers have been searching for from the tight end position in terms of pass catching, really since, you know, Antonio Gates. I mean, Hunter Henry had a nice couple years here, but consistency there, they haven't had in a long time. So they love Aronde.
Yeah. Now, receiver-wise, right, Ladd McConkey, he was limited with the calf. Does it look like he's going to – obviously it's early in the week, so I'm not asking you to make a declaration, but, I mean, does it look like he has a chance to play, or is that something to really monitor?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it didn't seem like something that anyone was overly concerned about with his calf. I think it seemed like more of a precautionary thing. He was one of the last guys on the field today with Ricky Keandre Lambert-Smith, just on the jugs machine, catching passes, doing focus drills with the tennis balls and stuff like that. So I haven't gotten any indication from him on the field or anyone around the team that that's going to be a major issue. But again, things can change. The Chargers will actually have their final practice that the media can observe tomorrow before flying out there Friday, and things can change. But as of now, I don't think anyone's concerned about Ladd playing.
Oh, okay. So they're doing the early flyout. They're flying out two days before. Okay. Interesting. Yep. Interesting. And look, man, Keenan Allen, I don't need to ask about him. That's just, we're talking about a legend. I'm curious about the running back group, because obviously it was supposed to be Amarion Hampton and Najee Harris. Neither of those guys are available to the Chargers now. How have you seen Greg Roman and the crew make the most of what they have? Because we know they want to run the football.
Yeah, for sure. It's so interesting, because a lot of the misconception about this team is that, you know, like you said, they do want to run the ball. And through two seasons, they really haven't been able to in the ways that Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh typically have. I mean, through these 8 weeks, the Chargers have thrown the ball more than any team in the NFL. Justin Herbert has the most pass attempts, the most passing yards. They have been up and down. They fluctuated from really above average to abysmal on the rushing offense, right? And part of that is because of injuries to left tackle Joe Alt, injuries to right tackle Trey Pipkins, and also Mekhi Becton in that interior O-line this season. But against Miami and against the Vikings, Kamani Vidal, who they drafted last year in the sixth round but cut ahead of the season and then brought back on the practice squad, I mean, they keep saying this week, Jim Harbaugh said it and Greg Roman said it, he looks like a running back one. So, you know, they leaned on him last week when he could run the ball. So I would say this, like, if they get the ground game going on Sunday, they're going to stick to that. But Greg Roman is not going to – He's not going to wait a long time. Like, he knows the coterie of pass catchers he has, and he knows that if that run game's not going, I'm going to abandon it, and I'm going to go to the passing offense, and that's going to be effective too. So that's kind of been the potion for this team this year. Throwing the ball when the run game's not growing, but they're at their best, as every team is, when they're building off that rushing offense, because it just makes everything so much easier.
Yeah. We're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Chargers reporter Chris Rim. I see. What was that? That what of receivers? You're using the SAT words out here, man. It was that what of receivers?
Coterie.
I got to go look that one up, man. Let's wrap it up on this, because you talk about Justin Herbert and where he is. And it seems like this is the year where he's turning the corner And when I say turning a corner, I'm talking about elevating himself legitimately into that top five mention. Do you agree with that, and why?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, but it feels like people have been saying that last year too, and this year. I mean, it's the, you know, the time has been now for him for the past two seasons. It's Justin at his best looks like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. The issue is that it's not, he's not always at his best, right? There's been inconsistency, and then the other issue is his, maybe some of his worst games come on prime time or have come in a playoff game like Houston last year. So I think the thing with Justin is he just has to win. He has to put it together in the playoffs, right? And whether that means, you know, he has the talent to win the game on the back of, you know, his arm and his legs too. It just has to come together at that moment, right? I genuinely think, you know, barring like Justin winning an MVP, I mean, I think that might be worse for him, but if the Chargers, you know, say the Chargers won out for the rest of the season, they finish 13-14-3, he wins an MVP, and then they lose in the playoffs or something, or lose in the first round, that would do no good for him, you know? Like, mm-hmm. he has to deliver when it matters, because that's the critique on him now. It's like, okay, you have all the skills, you have all the talent, but you turn the ball over in the playoffs. You just threw four picks. You only threw three all season. You lost the 28-0 lead, and they're valid criticism. So that's the thing for Justin, man, just win in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, that's a fact right there, man. Great insight there. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you check him out, ESPN NFL Nation. Chargers reporter Chris Rim. Chris, make sure you hit me up, man, when you touch. You already know.
Yes, sir.
Cigar bar on me. Onk status is coming. All right, man, I'll holler.
All right, man.
So that was Chris Rim, ESPN NFL Nation Chargers reporter. As you see, he's very well versed as far as what's going on with the Chargers. So I'm glad he was able to come on and give us all a pretty good version and outlook on this team. Look, folks, it's probably going to get ugly. Let's just face the facts. It is what it is, but it's all good, man. Support your team just like you support me, man. You can check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.